know, we're almost through.
Book of Joshua.
Couple more Lord's days to go. And then we'll turn our attention to the book of Galatians. But there's still yet one more tribe of Israelites that need to be settled in the promised land. And this is the tribe of Levi. I believe that the tribe of Levi was left for last so that they could establish themselves to conduct special tasks or responsibilities that Yahweh was going to give them to do, that had given them to do. And that's going to become clear as we delve into chapter 21, 45 verses in chapter 21, but I won't read them all. And we're going to also discover, though, how that applies to us and the church to today. Now, in order to understand this, again, we have to do a little history lesson. A little Old Testament history here. The Levites are given portions of the land, what it tells us. It says in chapter 21, then the heads of households of the Levites approached Eleazar, the priest, and Joshua, the son of Nun. And the heads of households of the tribes of the sons of Israel. They spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to live in, with their pasture lands for our cattle. So the sons of Israel gave the Levites from their inheritance these cities with their pasture land according to the command of the Lord. Now underscore that. According to the command of the Lord. According to Yahweh's command. But the Levites' place in the promised land is to be unique. Unlike the other tribes. The Levites will be scattered throughout the land, throughout the promised land, vast territory. Their towns and their places where they would live would be drawn from the whole land, not just a certain section, but the whole land of Canaan. So we have to do a little history lesson. If you go back to Genesis, chapter 49, again, it has to do with the blessing and the prophecy that Jacob gave. Verses 5 to 7, Jacob told them, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their counsel. Let not my glory be united with their assembly. Because in their anger they slew men. And in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob. Jacob now is the one that's talking. But I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Thus was Jacob's blessing, or prophecy, and prophecy to two of his sons, Simeon and Levi. Now we know why that that happened was because Simeon and Levi decided to take things into their own hands as far as their sister Dinah was concerned. Their sister Dinah was raped, taken advantage of. Hazor, the prince of Shechem, men wanted to marry her, and remember what they said. We will agree to this if you will be circumcised, just as we are. And then your daughters will marry, your sons will get to our daughters, and vice versa. And the people of Shechem, the men of Shechem, say, hey, that's a great idea, because then their stuff will be ours as well. But Simeon said that as a ruse.
My turn.
And Simeon and Levi took it upon themselves to kill all the males when they were in their recovering from their circumcision. In other words, had a disadvantage. So Jacob said, You have made me loathed in the land. Won't be able to stay here. Won't be able to live because of what you have done. And Jacob never forgot that. What happened? And so he prophesied this. This is his blessing to his sons, Simeon and Levi. Now we know the tribe of Simeon. They weren't given their a vast territory. They shared. They got a little bit of land. But the Levites, something changed there. Well, what changed? As we know, when you read Exodus chapter 32, that's the example of the golden calf. Moses and Joshua are up on the Mount Sinai getting the word from Yahweh, from the Lord. Up there 40 days, 40 nights. People don't know what happened to them. So they tell Aaron. We don't know what happened to this Moses. Joshua, make us a god. And so Aaron had them bring all their stuff, their jewelry and gold and stuff, and he fashioned a calf, a golden calf out of it.
No, you got that wrong. He threw it in the fire and out popped the calf.
Yeah, he threw it in the fire and out popped the calf, supposedly. That's what Aaron saw, and that's what Aaron said.
Yeah.
Notice what Aaron said. Now, when Aaron saw this, now he's from the tribe of Levi. He built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation, said, tomorrow will be a feast to the Lord, to this calf. So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offering, brought peace offering. The people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. They're going to have a good time. And that's what they did. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go down at once with your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt. And notice what Yahweh said to Moses, your people, not mine, your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then let me alone, that my anger burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you, Moses, a great nation. And Moses entreats for the people. God listens to him. And we know then that he comes down from the mountain. Joshua says he hears sounds of war, and Moses says, this is not sound of war, that's the sound of singing, the people playing. And Moses showed his anger. Verse 19 following. He grinds that calf to powder. He scatters it over the surface of the water. And then he makes the sons of Israel. He makes the people of Israel drink that. Can you imagine that? And then he said it to his brother. Moses said, Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them? And Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself. They're prone to evil. And Aaron tells him what he did that. Now notice what Moses said, verse 25. Of course, he said that, you know, the truth. He wrote stuff out, and Aaron said, and then the fire not came to pass. Aaron didn't really have anything to do with it. Yeah, he did. But now notice what Moses says. Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control. Notice that. Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And notice who came to him. All the sons of Levi gathered to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp and kill every man his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, dedicate yourself today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son, against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today. So the Levites were the only ones that came on the Lord's side. So now Jacob said that they're going to be dispersed and scattered throughout the land. They wouldn't have their own inheritance as such. But the Levite, the tribe of Levi, changed. Yahweh changed it, that prophecy. How did he change it? Well, the Levites, because of standing on the Lord's side, God told them, and you read Numbers chapter 3, verses 23 through 29, and God lays out their duties and what they're supposed to do. And the sons of Levi, verse 17 following. God tells them to number the sons of Levi. The sons of Levi by their name: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Those were the three sons of Levi, as mentioned in Genesis 46 as well. So God sets them apart from all the people for what? He tells us, for Him, for His service, for Yahweh's service. And then you read in Numbers chapter 35, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, command the sons of Israel that they give to the Levites from the inheritance of their possessions cities to live in, and you shall give to the Levites pasture lands around the city. The city shall be theirs to live in, and their pasture land shall be for their cattle and for their herd and for all their beasts. The pasture land of the cities which you should give to the Levites, from the wall of the city toward 1,000 cubits around. And you shall also measure outside the city on the east 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits, with the city in the center. This shall become theirs as pasture lands for the city. And then six cities of refuge among those cities. So there's three groups now of people or clans, if you want to call them, among the Levites. There's the sons of Gershon. There's the sons of Kohath, and there's the sons of Merari. Now, what you notice here, though, is when you get back to Joshua chapter 21, and what God lays out here, what you notice is they are not addressed according to birth order. Gershon is the oldest, not Kohath, not Kohath. He's not the oldest. Gershon is the oldest. But notice, he's not addressed. His people are not addressed first. Why? Because God is not going according to birth order. He's going according to the priesthood. Who does the priesthood belong to? The sons of Kohath, from which Aaron came from. Aaron and Moses came from Kohath's line. Thus, the family of Kohath is addressed first. So now you have the allotment is as follows. Then the lot came out. Who's doing the lot? Well, Aaron's son, Eleazar, and Joshua are. But to whose behalf? Yahweh is causing it to be done. Then the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites and the sons of Aaron the priest, who were of the Levites, received 13 cities, 13 towns by lot from the tribe of Judah and from the tribe of the Simeonites and from the tribe of Benjamin. So Aaron's side is allotted first. Why? Because it's from Aaron's side that the high priest comes from. So they were given the most. 48 cities are going to be given total. 13 of those cities, of those towns, were given to Aaron's side. And these were found in the south. The descendants of Aaron were given, they would live in the tribal area of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. On the west side of the Jordan and in the south. And they would be closer eventually to Jerusalem as well. And that's the significance. Because this is where the high priest came from. Then the rest of the Kohathites were given 10 cities. In the north. And they were located within Ephraim, Dan, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And all were west of the Jordan. But these were in the central part of the Promised Land. And that's laid out for us in these verses here. Now the rest of the sons of Kohath received 10 cities by lot from the family. It tells you where they are, where they're going to be in the land of Canaan. It's important to see. And as we move on, the Gershonites, the oldest, of the tribe of Levi, of the son of Levi. They, that clan, receives 13 towns in the region of Galilee. And these were located within the tribes of Asher, Naphtali, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, east of the Jordan. Thus, the Gershonites were located on both sides of the Jordan River, the east and the west. But they were in the extreme northern part of the land. So, the Kohathites, you see 13 towns, Aaron's side. And then they received 10 towns for a total of 23. Why so many? Because that is the clan of where Aaron comes from. And God gave them the most. And then the Gershonites. They also received 13 towns. And then last of all, we have the Merarites. They received 12 towns. And these towns, it's listed in for you in verses 7 through 9 there. Actually about, 7 through 19 there, lists out the Merarites. They received 12 towns. And these towns now are located within the tribes of the territory tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. These towns are more scattered than all the others, because some of the towns were east, were south. Some were east of the Jordan, some were west of the Jordan, and some were in the north, Zebulun, and some in the far south, as I said, that's Reuben, while others were in the central part of the eastern territory, that of the tribe of Gad. So why is this? That's what we notice in verses 9 through 26. And then in chapter 21, verses 4 to 47 through 42, or 27 through 42, rather, it lists what those cities are. A total allotment of 48 towns. It follows in a counterclockwise area, what Yahweh does. It follows a pattern from south to north to east and west. And God does it in a counterclockwise arrangement. Isn't that amazing? God worked that out. Well, what is the significance of all that? Yahweh set them apart this way. Why would he do that? Why would they be, because of what, just because of what Jacob said? They would be scattered, they would be dispersed in the land. What was the function of the Levites besides taking care of the tabernacle and later the temple, serving Yahweh in that way? What were the Levites supposed to do besides ministering in the temple, besides taking care of the things of the tabernacle? What was the purpose that Yahweh had for the Levites? Just have, you know, just that they would be taken care of because they served God, because they served Yahweh in the temple? Because they took care of things that way? Because they were just set apart for Yahweh? That's part of it, yes. But there's a much more important, significant reason why God had them dispersed, scattered throughout the land of Canaan, and gave them 48 cities. It was their function, not just because of what they did in the tabernacle and the temple. You understand that the Levites were the religious leaders. They were the teachers of the people. The teachers and the religious leaders of the people. We know that later on because in the history of Israel, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 2. David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is from the Lord our God, let us send everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their cities with pasture land, that they may meet with us." And they met with them, so that they would be instructed. It was the Levites who were supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant and serve God in that way. Turning again in 2 Chronicles, chapter 11, verse 13. Notice here, "Moreover, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel stood with him from all their districts, from all their towns." That was with Rehoboam. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 3, we read, "He also said to the Levites," and notice this, "He also said to the Levites who taught all Israel and who were holy to the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, built. It will be a burden on your shoulders no longer. Now serve the Lord your God and the people of Israel." But did you notice verse 3? "The Levites who taught all Israel and were holy to the Lord." And the last prophet in the Old Testament, Malachi, Malachi chapter 2, verses 6 through 9 says, "True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned my enemy back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge." Who were the priests? Levites. "Should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way, you have caused many to stumble by the instruction, you have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my way, but are showing partiality in the instruction." They were the religious leaders and the teachers of the people of Israel. They were Yahweh's representatives. They were the ones that Yahweh set apart to teach the people, to instruct them in his way, to carry it on. Remember what God told through Moses that the people were to do. Teach them. Teach them to your children and your children's children. Write them on the doorpost of your home. Keep them within you. Who was to do that? The Levites. They were supposed to carry that out. That's why God dispersed them throughout the land and scattered them like that. He wasn't leaving his people alone.
Without a representative.
He wasn't leaving, exactly, Jeff. He wasn't leaving the people without teachers, without instructors. That's why he did that. That's why Yahweh why God did that. They were also in charge of the cities of refuge. They were the ones that made the judicial decisions. The Levites were to do that. See, they had a special task that God was giving, and that God was giving them. What does this mean? It means that it is the Levites who are to influence the people to follow Yahweh. They were the ones that were to influence the people. God gave them that task. Not just to serve Him in the tabernacle and in the temple and take care of those things, but to also take care of God's people by instructing them, by teaching them, by teaching them doctrine, by teaching them how to worship and how to live for Yahweh. As the scholar Kenneth Matthews said, the location and wide distribution of the town suggests that the Levites were the cultural vanguards against encroaching military threats and the religious idolatry of the Canaanites. The Levites were. That's why God left the Levites for last when it came to the tribal allotment or what they were given in the land. Because they were situated in such a way, God did it in a counterclockwise pattern, but they were situated in a way throughout the whole promised land that the people were not left without instruction and teaching from God. God gave that to them. So let's apply this to today then. We don't have tribal Levi today, do we? We don't have priests today, do we? Well, there are some of you, groups that do, of course, but we don't have priests today, do we?
We are.
Yes.
What's that?
Yes, we are. We all are.
We are. Isn't that what Peter tells us? That we are priests? We have only one high priest, so don't we? That's Jesus. But we are priests.
Inwardly, not outwardly.
The Lord provides.
Not the Pope.
Exactly. And how we can apply this to today is that the Lord provides those who are to teach and lead His people. That's the significance, brothers and sisters, of Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 14. How this applies to us today as well with the tribe of Levi. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 14 tells us, and He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, teachers. That should go together, by the way. It does in the Greek. In other words, it means that those who are shepherds and those who are pastors are teachers as well. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. As a result of what? Of how the Lord has equipped His church. The elders, evangelists, That's what we are to do. And brothers and sisters, just as the Levites were, God has us scattered throughout the land, doesn't He? He has us dispersed throughout the land. We're not the only church, are we? But we are His church. But where He has us dispersed is where we live right now. And we are, just as the Levites were, we are the cultural vanguards of our day. We are the cultural vanguards for Yahweh and Jesus Christ. We are. Not the world out there. Not those outside of the church. But we are the cultural vanguard. What does that mean? It means God, His Son, wants us to be a counterculture. Wants us to be different. And we are the partakers of that. But it also means we are the guardians of that. And I dare say that old Satan and those who are against the church, they don't like that. And they don't want that. And what we have going on in our society today, in our country today, is one of their means to stop the church, to stop us from being the cultural vanguard. Brothers and sisters, we have to be on guard against it, indeed, against the freedom of expression. They want to stop that. They want to censor, yes. They would like nothing but to do that. Why? Because of what we stand for and who we stand for. Remember what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He said, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. Those false shepherds that we read about in the Old Testament history and the history of Israel, the nation of Israel, who were those false shepherds?
Canaanite.
They were Levites. They were the priests. It was those who were teaching the people. And God called those who were not teaching the right things, but idolatry in that. The Levites became not cultural vanguards for Yahweh. Instead, they turned against it. And God turned against them. And what Paul is saying here in Acts 20 is that we are to be on guard for the whole flock and for ourselves. Why? Because He purchased us with His own blood. It's what Peter said. You read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Therefore I exhort the elders among you as fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men likewise, be subject to elders. And all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but give grace to the humble. We need to take this to heart, that we are also, as well, guardians. All of us are. But more so we who teach and who preach and who lead the church. What an awesome responsibility that is for us, because we are guardians of the church and guardians of the truth. Isn't that what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:13, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Do we see that? We are to guard that which has been given to us. As he told Titus, in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, we find, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. That's what we as leaders, what we are to do. But that's what we are all to do as Christians, is that we are guardians of the truth and the church. We are, just like those Levites. We are the cultural vanguard. Wherever we may live, and whatever we may do. And we must not forget that. The Levites later on forgot that. They were to guard God's instructions and to teach it to the people. And later on they forgot to do that. And many of them didn't forget to teach. They just didn't teach Yahweh's ways. They taught idolatry. And that can happen today as well. And that's what we have to be watchful for and on guard for. That's why you find the concluding statement in Joshua 21 here. And some people say that, well, there's a contradiction there. Well, there's no contradiction. Notice what it says. Verses 43 through 45. So the Lord gave Israel. Notice that, what it says. So Yahweh, the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he has sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. That's the same thing with the church. Not one of the good promises he has made to us through his Son has failed. And all will come to pass. And people say that, well, now wait a minute here. God didn't fulfill all that, because all the people, all those Canaanites weren't driven out. Whose fault was that? God told them to do that. They didn't do it. But God fulfilled his promise, didn't he? He gave them the land. And they lived within it. Well, just like that, God hasn't failed us. And he will not fail us. We have the victory and the promise through his Son. And that's why we keep pressing on. Pressing on toward the upward call which he has given us. And we must continue to do that no matter what. But let us remember that that part of that means that we are guardians of the truth of his church. Let's stand that word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, may we understand that just as the sons of Levi were, that we as your sons' church, indeed, wherever we may be, dispersed throughout this land, Lord, that indeed that we are your priests. And that, Father, that you have given us the knowledge that we can instruct and teach others to show them the way, to show them indeed the truth. May we take these things to heart, Father. May we understand that indeed what a responsibility and what a privilege it is that you have given us, Lord. May we never forget, Lord, that indeed we are the vanguards of your truth. Help us indeed, Father, to maintain that. Be with us now, Lord, as we go to our homes, guide and direct us. Be with us throughout this week. Lead us to those, Father, who need to hear these things, indeed, to hear these things, hear the things that can give them peace, that can give them freedom, and true truth. And indeed, Father, that they might have what we have. And we just ask all these things, your Son's most precious and holy name, the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.